I have some bad news. My watch stopped. Isn't it a great feast? Friday of the 14th week after Pentecost, something I always wanted to celebrate all my life. The church is kind of, I don't know, why does the church spend most of its year counting Sundays? The Sundays after Pentecost. And yet, as I reflect after all these years, the church is right. The church is right. 55 years ago tomorrow, there I am, counting the years. I was ordained in Rome. It was a sunny day like this, but really hot. And I don't remember a thing. Maybe some of you feel the same way about your wedding. But it was a wonderful day, and my mother made it over, and my Aunt Beulah, everybody should have an Aunt Beulah, and my friend Father David Wheeler and Father Dennis Coulter, who was a classmate of mine up in Belgium. Now, all are gone now. Many of my classmates are gone. And many of the people I knew in these pews are gone. But God has blessed me with 40 years in Cedar Rapids serving the people of God. And so today, we need to recognize that we celebrate Pentecost all the time. We celebrate the great feast days of Pentecost by looking back at those special days which we call Holy Week. Every day that's called Pentecost is another day of the coming of the fulfillment of the Holy Spirit, of Holy Thursday and Good Friday and Holy Saturday and Easter Sunday and Ascension and Pentecost. This is the essence of our spirituality. We don't have to go anyplace else. This is the way we are called to live. It's not just something that we attend to for a few days. And we had Holy Week. This year we didn't have much of a Holy Week. But somehow we live streamed some of it. So today I'm counting the years. I'm using those same ordinal numbers that we learned in math a long time ago. The accumulation of 55 years, and last week, the accumulation of 80 years as I celebrated my birthday. So in this year, 2020, I'd like to pick up on a couple things that are part of 2020. They're obvious. One of them is counting the days of the year of the pandemic, COVID. It's going to be a major chapter in our lives when we celebrate years from now. There's awful suffering. There's sure a lot of negative aspects. I never dreamt I'd be wearing a mask at my 55th anniversary. But Paul and I are together, and our year started when we had a CEW down at St. Pat's, a men's CEW. 1982, was it? So we've been at it a long time. And I remember Sandra way back, and the little one, who's now an adult. And I remember many of you. And so we have to connect somehow COVID with prayer and good relationships and Eucharist spirituality. We connect it with our caring, and we're doing that, and our loving efforts. Possibly some good will come from this. I think it will. And then the second reality is equally obvious, the awful video of the callous death of George Floyd in Minneapolis. My niece only lives a couple blocks from there. So it's close to all of us. It's almost as if he wasn't even a human being. And certainly he wasn't perfect. That's pretty obvious. None of us are. But he had friends. He had family. He had a life. Did he lose his life because of the color of his skin? Did that make him less than human? We don't know for sure. So today, we kind of look at those two realities in the light of the Feast of Pentecost, that metaphor. The words of George Floyd, "I can't breathe." Somebody said 20 times he said that. Calling for his mother. What is the central metaphor for Pentecost? The breath of the Holy Spirit filling us with God's forgiveness and mercy and love. The apostles were filled with fear. They were filled with guilt. And they were then filled with the grace and forgiveness of the love of God. Sin and evil was present. They were quarantined in a small room with locked doors. They were guilty of denying and betraying Jesus. And now it's replaced with the breath of peace and forgiveness. Jesus says in the Pentecost Gospel, "Peace be with you." He came into the room. The breath came back. "I forgive you. Let's move on." A bunch of ordinary fishermen and some simple women from the countryside, from Brandon or Kwaski or someplace, whatever you want to pick on, Dyke. Now I'm starting to get personal. They were freed. They were empowered by this breath of new life, and they went forth far beyond that room, far beyond Jerusalem, as Jesus told them to all the nations. And over time, they had to be refilled because they were dealing with the same spirit, the same breath, because they struggled, not knowing what to do, their makes mistakes, their sinfulness, their persecution. They still had a reason for fear, and eventually their martyrdom. Years later, in 2020, that same spirit lives in us. No matter how bad this stuff is, it's out there in our world. As I read the signs of the times, as we observe the evolution of 2020, we can't deny the suffering and the lack of peace and forgiveness. But cannot we also say that something good is starting to happen and has been there all along? There's more awareness, I think, caring, people coming together a bit or a lot. And are we starting to do stuff to promote the spread of a good virus? We need to concentrate on the good virus as well as deal with the empty. We're freed from the death of life. And when we look at the mechanics of the good virus, they're very similar to the mechanics of the bad virus, of COVID, of racism. The good is very infectious. The good has no borders. We can all be carriers. It's community spread. It comes with astonishing speed. People and situations are bringing up goodness by the power of God and the freedom and breath that they have from the Holy Spirit. Maybe those symptoms aren't known very well. Maybe somebody sitting here, we never dreamt about the goodness that they have. It's not immediately recognized. We recognize that just as the apostles were called in today's gospel, they were sent on mission in Matthew. And they were nervous. They weren't sure they could do this. They knew it was tough. This was before Jesus was killed even. Well, it was written afterwards. And Jesus says, "It will not be you that speak, but the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of my Father. So do not worry about what you're going to say." I worried way too much about what I was going to say today. I don't do this very often anymore. Your Father is there in his spirit. You are together in prayer and communion. Nice to have communion again, isn't it? God is with us, for us, and within us. So we see today that call of the Holy Spirit, the Feast of Pentecost, and we do not fear. Yes, we do, but we know we don't down deep. Everyone is called to do their great and small part. Look at our situations now that weren't true 4 or 5 months ago. Stay-at-home situations, radically changed schools, no cardinals on TV. That's really tough. Working together, living together, cooperating. Some pretty good things, even though they're difficult, will be learned and come out of all that and are happening. We have marvelously learned, even alone, to use the telephone and the internet, a card or a letter. We have gifts of food and other necessities. The racism one is longer and harder in many ways. But can we not also make some giant steps in that? I got into a bookstore the other day. That was really great. Nice to be inside one. And I noticed a book that I read years ago. I think one of the staff members recommended it to me. Toni Morrison. Have you ever read Toni Morrison? The book is called Beloved. It won the Nobel Prize for Literature maybe 20 years ago. The Norwegians chose it. We didn't. But it's worth reading, because somehow we have to come into understanding. My eyes are open every day about the racism in me and in others that we don't really recognize. We say things, we're just not aware. We're not conscious. But we're conscious more and more. And so maybe even though we can't do something quite as easily as we can do things about COVID, yes, we can. We can really treat all people as children of God and full of the Holy Spirit. So we need time, and we need prayer, and we have lots of time. I have done a great deal of reflection in this few months, and I'm sure you have too. It's been a gift in some ways. And so I want to suggest as I close that this be a 2020 moment, that this be the time when the good virus infects us and we see each day and each week as the church, by accident or by the power of the Holy Spirit, sees Pentecost. So it's the 14th. It's the Friday of the 14th day after Pentecost. That doesn't do anything for us as we come to church. But maybe every day is Pentecost, and if we can just take up that call to live and to witness the powerful presence of our loving God, indeed coming the days and the years. Because those ordinals, as I learned in math, add up.